Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Well, we have entered chapter 2 of 1 Timothy, and we have found that the first priority out of all of these instructions that Paul gives for the operation and extension of the local church is that we must pray. Therefore, I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. And so prayer is given the highest possible priority by the Apostle Paul. And therefore, we need to understand how important it is and how serious an endeavor is prayer. We must learn to pray in a God-honoring way. We must pray for all kinds and classes of people. And we should pray because God commands it and delights in it. And it is an important part of our worship. And this is the means that God uses to accomplish His purposes in the world. We should pray in order that we be allowed to live peaceable and unmolested lives by the governments of the countries where we live. And we should pray out of concern for the souls of men. Let me read beginning at verse 4 again. Therefore, verse 1 through verse 4 again. Therefore, I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. And then we read in verse 5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Now this text, verse 5, is a very critically important one in the Bible because it reminds us that the only way that we have access to God in prayer is through Christ. And that's really what it means to pray in Jesus' name, namely to be one who is represented by Christ, for whom Christ is a mediator, for whom Christ is an intercessor, one who is covered by the blood of Christ, has been given the imputed righteousness of Christ, and therefore has access into the throne room of God, because there's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. The scripture is very clear on that subject. One God. Probably not too many in our radio audience would question that statement. There's only one God. Now, that God is revealed to us as existing eternally in three persons: God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. It is a triune Godhead, a trinity of persons, but one essence, one being, one God. Now, to the critic, to the unbeliever, to the skeptic, that sounds like a contradiction. What is it? Is it one God or is it three gods? Is it one God or is it three gods, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? And the answer is yes, it is one God, and it is one God revealed in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who are distinct persons, and yet there is one God. How do I explain that? I don't. I can't. I can't fully understand it. And nobody can. Nobody can fully understand it. It's one of those mysteries that we can never fully comprehend, but we dare not deny because the Bible says so many things that teach this in one way or another that we just dare not deny it. To deny it is to deny who God is. It is to deny a foundational truth about God. If we deny this, then we don't know the God of the Bible, and we're not worshiping the God of the Bible. God is a triune being. There is God the Father, who is God, eternally God, with all of the attributes and characteristics of God. There is God the Son, who is the eternal Son of God, who had no beginning any more than God the Father had a beginning. God the Son, who is eternally generated from the Father. Now, our minds don't comprehend eternal generation. The very concept of generation seems to imply time, a beginning. But there was no beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. There was never a time when the Son did not exist. There wasn't God the Father alone and by himself, and then he said, I think it would be good if I would generate a Son and generate the Spirit. And so, now we have three instead of one. No, God the Son is eternally generated of the Father, and likewise the Holy Spirit, eternally generated from the Father and the Son. You say, I don't understand that. I already covered that. I don't understand it either. I'm just telling you what the Bible teaches. And the only way that we have access to God is through the Lord Jesus Christ, the divinely appointed mediator. There's only one who can mediate between God and men because there's only one that has been appointed for that purpose. And that is God the Son. There's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. So there is no other mediator. There is no mediatrix. We do not pray to Mary. We do not pray to the saints. We pray to God in the name of Jesus, which is not to indicate that we close our prayers by saying, in Jesus' name, amen, and that somehow makes it a prayer in Jesus' name. But we approach God as a regenerated child of God, as a believing, blood-bought child of God. We approach God as one who is being represented before the Father by the Son, the mediator. We have an advocate with the Father, even Jesus Christ the righteous, said John in 1 John 2. And that's the way we approach the throne. If we are not a child of God, we have no access to God, and we cannot pray in Jesus' name, even if we say the words in Jesus' name. Amen. As I generally do, and as I suppose most people generally do. We've been taught to say that as a reminder that that's the only way we can come to God in prayer, namely in Jesus' name. But I think it's sometimes confusing because we tend to think, therefore, that to pray in Jesus' name means to say the name of Jesus. And it doesn't. You say, how do you know? Well, by a study of what that phrase, the name of Jesus, means elsewhere in the New Testament. And it doesn't mean to say his name. Some people are all hung up on the issue of baptism and say we must baptize in the name of Jesus rather than in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, as Jesus told us to do. I find it interesting that the people who insist upon baptizing in Jesus' name ignore the fact that when Jesus commanded his apostles to baptize, he said baptizing them, the disciples, the ones who have been made followers of Jesus Christ by your witness, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And he said, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Well, you say, the name of the Father, and Son, and the Holy Spirit is no more a formula, a baptismal formula, than to say, I baptize you in Jesus' name, right? But we do use the formula, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, to indicate that we believe in the triune Godhead, and we carry out baptism in the way that Jesus told us to. But to baptize in Jesus' name means to baptize as representatives of Christ, as servants of Christ, as ones who are represented by Christ before the throne of God, and ones who are carrying out the instructions of Christ, who told us to baptize in the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit. That's what it means to baptize in Jesus' name. It doesn't mean that we say the exact words, I baptize you in Jesus' name. It means we baptize people as believers in Jesus Christ, as followers of Jesus Christ. We are who are doing the baptizing. They are the people who are being baptized. And that's what it means to baptize in Jesus' name. And that's what it means to pray in Jesus' name. I think I've told you before, I'm a little bit conflicted about this conflict that is going on many places today about whether or not when we pray in public, we should pray using the formula, I pray this prayer in Jesus' name, which is opposed and even forbidden in some cases. You can pray to God, but you can't pray saying the name of Jesus. Well, I want to let it be known that I don't believe in a generic God that is unrelated to Jesus. And I don't believe that anybody can truly pray to God except they pray in the name of Jesus, that is, believing in Jesus. And I think it's good to say that. And you indicate that when you say, I pray this in Jesus' name. Then you know that this person is not praying to any old God by whatever name. He's praying to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and he's praying as a follower of Jesus Christ. But frankly, to be a follower of Jesus Christ, a believer in Jesus Christ, and a follower of Jesus Christ, is to pray in Jesus' name without ever saying those words. One reason I know that is because none of the prayers in the New Testament include those words. Nobody uses that formula. Nobody says, I pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You'll find that nowhere. But they all prayed in the name of Jesus. But they didn't say those words. The important thing is to be a believer in Jesus and be conscious of the fact that the only way you have access to God in prayer is through the merits of Jesus Christ, that he is your mediator. Exactly what Paul is saying here in 1 Timothy 2:5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And when you recognize that and pray on that basis, you are praying in the name of Jesus, in the authority of Jesus, according to the merits of Jesus and the intercessions of Jesus. And therefore, you are praying, and you pray according to the will of Jesus, what you believe he would pray for, what he wants us to pray for. And that's why we study passages like 1 Timothy 2, to find out how to pray and what we should pray for. And that's praying in Jesus' name. May God help us to do so. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman, Bible teacher on the Beacon broadcast, saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.